You're listening to the teaching ministry of Michael Williams, pastor of International Outreach Church, located in Wills Point, Texas. Get ready to be challenged, charged, and changed by the Word of God which you're about to receive.
Well, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Hebrews 2. You know, we started teaching on Hebrews the other day. I don't know that we're going to be going through the whole book. We just start out and see where we wind up, and you know, we jump off the diving board and pray there's water in a pool. But I just felt led to minister along the lines of what the Bible says about Jesus in the first chapter of Hebrews, and it's just awesome. You know, if anything Hebrews tells us, it tells us that Jesus is better. He's better than everything. He's better than everybody. He's better than the prophets. He's better than the angels. And, of course, the covenant we have is a better covenant. The things in that covenant are better things. The hope we have is a better hope. The resurrection it talks about is a better resurrection. I mean, everything's just better, 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 better. And that's what Hebrews tells us. And Jesus, of course, is the theme. He's the hero. He's the star. And he still is the star. Amen? And God may have spoken certain ways and certain manners in the past by the prophets, but in these last days he's spoken to us in his Son or in Son. It doesn't even translate real well. Basically, it boils down to this. Jesus didn't bring the message. Jesus is the message. Jesus is not only the way God is speaking, Jesus is not only what God is speaking, but Jesus is God speaking. Hello. He is God speaking. So when we've heard God, we heard Jesus, we've heard God. Are you with me? And what's it about? It's about him. So he's the way. He's the truth. He's the life. So he's not like a prophet bringing a message. Jesus is the message. And if you never receive Jesus or get Jesus, you never get the message. You don't have it yet. You don't have it till you have him. See, he's not, when you get to heaven, he's not going to say, I never knew about you. He's going to say, I never knew you. And what you need to know is not about Jesus. You need to know him. And that's the question, do you know him? You can know all about Jesus, not know him. I can write a book on Brenda. You may never ever met her, but see, I know Brenda. I don't just know about Brenda. And there's a lot more security and confidence and faith and steadfastness that comes with that when you know someone as opposed to just knowing about someone. In other words, Brenda's not a doctrine to me, not a teaching. There are certain truths I know about Brenda. Some you'd probably really like to know, but I'm not going to tell you. And we could argue about Brenda, doctrines, teaching, but you couldn't argue with me about knowing her. I know her. So we might argue about Jesus, you know, about what he does, doesn't do. And I think the Bible is very plain on those subjects. I think we can get in the Scripture and find those out. The one thing we cannot argue about is if we've met him, we know him. That's not up for argument. He's more than a doctrine to me or a teaching to me. I know him. Are you with me? We can talk about Muhammad, Buddha, anybody you want to talk about, but I have met Jesus. I know Jesus. He's more than a teaching or a doctrine. I know him. Amen. And the Scripture is there for the intent and purpose to bring you to Jesus. And it is the Word of God to the extent that it takes you to Jesus. But it never will be the Word of God to you until it gets you to Jesus. Because until it gets there, it's just words on a page. Jesus said it this way, you search the Scripture, for in them you think you have eternal life, but they are they that testify of me. And you will not come to me that you might have life. So ultimately, all Scripture should bring us to Jesus. It should bring us to his feet. This will get your prayers answered. This will get your faith strong, get your confession right. When you begin to look at this as a person, not just a doctrine or a teaching, not a formula or a principle. Amen. Now, there are formulas, there are principles, and there are, I understand all that, and the Bible teaches that. But all the formula is only as good as the one who formed it. Right. And the teaching is only good as the teacher, and the word's only as good as the one who said it. And until you know him, you really can't have full confidence. Are you with me? So you build that relationship with him. You build your fellowship with him in his word, and so then you have no problem believing his word because you know him. He can't lie. Amen. He won't lie. Amen? Hebrews 2. First chapter talked about how he's better than the prophets, better than the angels. In fact, he used 7 Old Testament scriptures to prove that Jesus was better than the angels. See, there's a lot of angel worship going on today in this age that we live in. But, you know, really, Jesus is the star. That's right. Amen? And they were created beings. I have to watch my East Texas accent. people think I'm calling God a crater, and he's not a hole in the ground. He is a creator. Okay. Angels are created beings. Jesus is the creator. The Bible says he's the express image of God's person. All things were made by him. All things are held together by the word of his power. Think about that. So Jesus comes along and he tells us who God is. I mean, he is God in the flesh. We heard about him. We read about him. And now he showed up. When Jesus got there, it was Emmanuel, God with us. He's not Buddha. He's not Muhammad. He's not even Moses or Jeremiah, Ezekiel, or Daniel. He's far beyond all that. He's not just a religious teacher, not just a leader, not just a great example. Oh, no, no. We didn't need a better example. We didn't need a better leader. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. He's a Savior. He was God manifested in the flesh, and Buddha never said that, Muhammad never said that, and neither did Moses. So he doesn't fall in that category. He's unique among all, quote-unquote, religious leaders in the way he talks and what he said and what he did and who he is. And this is what the writer of Hebrews does, is establish the fact that Jesus is God, and he is better than all other things. All other things the Bible talks about, it all points to him. He is the message. He's the Lamb of God. I mean, he was the manna from heaven. He's the water out of the rock. Are you with me? I mean, he is all those things. He is the creator, the maker. And he says in the second chapter, y'all there? Give you plenty of time, get there. Second chapter, first verse, therefore we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we let them slip or drift away, New King James Version says. You know, we ought to listen up, as we say in East Texas. He just got through talking about the angels and how they were ministering spirits sent forth to minister to those who heirs of salvation. And we understand, the Jews understood, that the angels were very instrumental in bringing the commandments and bringing the doctrines, and they carried messages back and forth, the covenants and so on and so forth in the Old Covenant. But if we listen to the angels and the messages they brought from God, if Moses recorded things, sometimes he would speak straight to God, sometimes messages would appear, angels would appear, then if the messages from angels was important, how much more the message from God himself? If we would give heed to anything in the Old Testament, how much more should we give heed to the New Testament? If we would listen to what was recorded by the prophets of old, and he's saying it's good, we should do that. I mean, you know, we may be out from under the law in the sense that we can't be good enough to go to heaven. Our sins are already paid for now. We don't slay lambs, bulls, and goats, and so on and so forth. But the teaching of the Old Testament, the moral teaching of the Old Testament, is still in play. It's still wrong to steal. It's still wrong to lie. Are you with me? And we still give heed to those things. But if we would give heed and listen to those things, how much more should we listen to the message that came from God himself through Jesus Christ? This is not an angel that brought us a message. This is not a prophet that brought us, you know, what he heard God say. This is God himself showing up in Jesus. And therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we let them slip. For if the word spoken through angels proves steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, the apostles? Woo, hallelujah. I mean, people hold the Bible in awesome respect, rightly so. We hold the law in awesome respect, the Ten Commandments, the Old Testament, rightly so, no question. Thank God for it. But how much respect do we give to Jesus' words? And a good question, and the point he's making here is, how much more should we give heed to what Jesus said to us? Because this is God talking. We often bring out examples out of the Old Testament, and we should do that. That's there for our benefit and for our example. But I'll tell you what, there's no more powerful example than anything Jesus did or something in the New Testament. Actually, we're in a new covenant, and we need to understand the times that we live in. You know, thank God for the Old Testament, but there are some things that do not apply. Some things do, some things don't. We don't slay lambs and let the blood run down the steps on Sunday mornings here to cover your sins. Yet that is Scripture, that is in the Bible. But that was fulfilled in Christ. Got two amens, one grunt, yeah. Nod, and a cough. Thank God I got a new covenant. Yeah. I'm wearing some new shoes. Woohoo! Got a new high priest, got a new priesthood. Built on better promises, on better resurrection, better sacrifices, given better hope about better things. Hello, hello. Jesus is better, better, better.
Amen.
And if I would listen to anything recorded in the Old Testament, and I should, I ought to more so listen to what Jesus is saying today in the earth today. And this great covenant, this great salvation that He has procured for us. Everybody say, so great salvation. I love that. That's what Jesus came to bring. He came for an intent, for a purpose, for a reason. He came, He showed up, and He showed out for us because He came to bring us a great salvation. Before then, we did not have this great salvation that we have now. We are living in a wonderful time now, a time where we're experiencing the great salvation that Jesus brought to us. It says, how shall we escape, third verse, if we neglect so great a salvation? Don't you neglect deliverance. Don't you neglect salvation. Don't you neglect healing. Don't you neglect the promises. Don't neglect what Jesus paid a price for so that you could experience it, walk in it. Hallelujah. I think many times we just set it aside, and yet Jesus shed blood that we might have this or that. Paid a great price. And we ought to give the more earnest heed. Woo!
Amen.
Oh, hallelujah. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? Everybody say confirmed. I love that because he goes on next verse and tells us God also bearing witness. God has borne witness to this truth. He has confirmed this truth with signs, wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit according to His own will. Hallelujah, somebody. I mean, when you think about it, you say, well, the old covenant, they split the Red Sea and crossed by dry land. They drank water out of a rock. Manna came out of heaven. Well, you know, there were some things that happened in the Old Testament, some miraculous things. But if you want to do a little comparison, just think about what took place New Covenant as opposed to Old Covenant, there really is no comparison. You want to count up the miracles that Jesus did? You want to count up the healings that took place in His life, not only in His life, but go into the book of Acts and count up the miracles that took place there? You want to do a comparison of resurrections that took place? Jesus raised from the dead. Paul raised somebody. Peter raised somebody compared to Old Testament resurrections. You want to talk about the feeding the 5,000, the 4,000, the walking on the water, the gold in the fish's mouth, the water turned to wine, and on and on and on and on. I mean the healing of the woman with the issue of blood, the woman bent over 13 years, the 10 lepers, the single leper, the blind Bartimaeus. You want to go through all that? That all took place from about, you know, I don't know, some around 26, 27 A.D. till about 95 A.D. You know, what is that, 70 years? Count up all the miracles and all the healings that took place in the Old Testament, 4,000 years. God bore witness to this covenant. Think about it. I don't think we often do the math. Hello. We look at that big span of time there and all those things that happen and they impact us, these events do, but we don't realize the span of time that was taking place and how much God did in a short period of time to confirm, to bear witness this covenant, this new covenant that we are walking in today.
Yeah.
And we ought to give the more earnest heed. Ooh, hallelujah. There is no comparison when you think of the miracle per miracle, healing beside healing, signs and wonders. Ooh, hallelujah. Oh, my. And the period, just a short period of time all this took place. Why? To confirm and to bear witness to this great salvation that you and I are living in today. I have a great salvation. Hallelujah. I don't just have a salvation. I have a great salvation. Amen. I don't just have a covenant. I have a great covenant. I don't just have promises. I've got better promises. So anything I see in the Old Testament that's good is something better in the New Testament. Amen? Hallelujah. And this was brought in to us and brought to us and communicated to us and preached to us and paid for by Jesus. Hallelujah. Third verse, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders, various miracles, gifts of the Holy Ghost, according to His own will. Hallelujah. Somebody. And it's still going on today. I just mentioned what's recorded here in the last 70 years of ministry, Jesus, and then the resurrection, then the book of Acts. If you put it all together, it's some 70 years there. All this is recorded. But see, there's actually 2,000 years of recorded history of miracles, signs, wonders, gifts of the Holy Ghost, salvations. We could write a book on this church. Hallelujah. Every church could write a new chapter in the book of Acts. Think about it. Because it's still going on today. And still, the gifts are still flowing today. And people are still getting healed today. Yes. Miracles are still happening today. Hallelujah. There's still a bearing witness to the covenant going on today. There's still a confirmation, God confirming the covenant today. You know, I think of Mark the 16th chapter where Jesus says, "These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name they shall cast out devils." I love that. Don't talk to devils, cast them out. Hello. I always get tickled. People write books about what devils have said when they cast them out. They told me they'd been in there for several generations. Well, first of all, they're lying. At least that's what my Bible says. It says they're all liars. It says the devil's the father of lies. And you're going to write a book about what the devil says. Who cares what the devil says? I want to know what God said.
Amen.
Jesus didn't say talk to devils. He said cast them out.
Right.
If you want to talk to them, say shut up and come out.
Amen.
I mean, try to talk to me when I cast them out. I'm real. I've had them try to talk to me and tell me things. I had one time tell me, "Oh, I want to tell you something first." I was in Bombay, India. And this thing spoke to me out of this man, an Indian who didn't speak English. This devil spoke to me in East Texas. And you know, I got my pad out and got my pencil out. And I said, "Yeah, what do you want to say?" "Oh, yeah, right." I said, "Shut up and come out of him in Jesus' name." He said, "Well, you never found out what he wanted to say." Well, if I want to hear a liar, I know a lot of people I can go visit to hear some lies. Not in the church. No, no, I'm not talking about you now. Anyway, let's get back on subject. Jesus said, "In my name they shall cast out devils. They'll speak with new tongues." And that doesn't mean quit cussing, okay? He's talking about a new language. He's talking about tongues. When you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak with other tongues. Acts 2, Acts 10, Acts 19, where they were filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. He's not saying you just clean your tongue up. I think you do need to clean your tongue up. I think you do need to quit cussing if you've been doing that. Shame on you. Quit that. Hello. But that's not what he's talking about there. He says they shall speak with new tongues. It says if they drink any deadly thing. Everybody say if.
Yeah.
Okay. He didn't say go do that. But there is a promise there. If you drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt you. He did say take up serpents, but he's talking about the power of the devil there. That old serpent, the devil, Revelation 12. You say, "Well, Paul did it." No, he didn't. In the book of Acts, Paul stuck his hand into this pile of sticks and a snake hooked onto his hand. And he didn't say, "Hey, look, y'all, I just took up a snake." It says he did what anybody with half a brain would do. He shook it off. What you need to do. He just said, they'll take up serpents, take up the power of the enemy. I think of Luke 10:19 says, "Behold, I give you power to tread upon the serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." That's what he was talking about. But then he says, "They shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." And then he goes on and says this, "If the Lord went with them, confirming the word with signs following." With signs following. God always confirms his word with signs following.
Amen.
See, signs are confirmation. Healings are confirmation. Miracles are confirmation. And so that's what he's saying here in Hebrews. I just said all that so you didn't have to turn there. In fact, if you go into the Greek there, it says, they went everywhere preaching and the Lord worked with them in confirming. How does that go? Confirming the word with signs following. Actually, in the italics in that word, the 20th verse, I believe, the 16th chapter of Mark, it says, they went everywhere preaching, the Lord working with them's in italics. So that's really added in, is what in the Greek, and confirming the word with signs following. Actually, what it says is the Lord worked with and confirmed the word with signs following. Okay, come on, y'all, wake up. I got you for a few more minutes. Stay with me. The Lord worked with the Word and confirmed the Word with signs following. Because God doesn't really confirm you or me. He confirms the Word. Oh, you'll have to go home and chew on that one. Okay, all right. I'm just trying to help you. God will always do what He says. If you'll just believe what He says and preach what He says and pray what He says and stand on what He says, He'll do what He says.
Amen.
He'll confirm what he says. And that's what he did here with this covenant, this great salvation that you and I have. He confirmed it with many signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to his own will. Fifth verse says, Hebrews 2:5, "For he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels." He's still talking about the comparison, although there was messages and covenants and promises that came by angels under the old covenant. But think about it. The world that we see and we know is not going to be in subjection to angels, nor has it been in subjection to angels. It has been under the authority of man. And it will be given back to man through Jesus Christ under his rule. Stay with me. Are you with me? In the beginning, we know who God made the world for, made it for man. And the mess that the world's in was man's fault because man was in authority. Adam sinned, and when sin came into the world, then death came into the world. That wasn't God's fault. Death and destruction, all those things, that's not God. That's the result of sin. And just when something happens in your life, it's not always your sin. Sometimes it's Adam's sin. Sometimes it's just the world we live in. Hello. Someone asked me one time, is all sickness the result of sin? Yes, it is. But that doesn't mean it's a result of your sin. That's where we get confused. I guess it could be sometimes. Sometimes people's lifestyle bring things on them. Are you with me? And it is their fault. But all sickness is the result of sin. Not necessarily yours, but definitely went back to Adam. So don't take that so personally when you hear statements like that. But then don't be blasphemous and sacrilegious and blame God for it and say God did it, because God's not behind it. God is good, and God's not confused. See, Jesus, we see God in Jesus, and he never made anybody sick. And if we ought to give heed to anyone, we ought to give the more earnest heed to Jesus, because he brought to us our great salvation. He brought to us our great deliverance. He didn't bring to us our great dilemma, problem, test, or trial. No, he brought to us our great salvation, and God confirmed it with signs following. Amen. Just like he still does today. If you stand on the word, and you preach the word, and you pray the word, and you believe the word, and you get people to agree with you, God's going to confirm that word with signs following. Oh, hallelujah. Now, for he has not put the world to come, of which we speak, in subjection to angels, but one testified in a certain place saying, and he's quoting Psalms 8 here, incidentally, "What is man that you are mindful of him?" You ever wondered that? You know, you look up in this universe and you see the whole universe up there and the stars and everything. And that's what David actually said in Psalms 8, "When I consider the stars, the moon that shines, the work of thy fingers, what is man that thou art mindful of him?" We do seem seemingly insignificant, don't we? Just a speck in the universe. And scientists would have us think that we are just a speck and just a blip on the chart, as it were. But actually, we're what it's all about. We're why God made all that. We're the reason Jesus came down here. The reason Jesus came is because of us. He didn't come because of the spotted owl or the whales. Oh, no. He came to redeem mankind. He came to redeem us. I mean, as far as God's concerned, one soul's worth all of creation, all the world. Jesus said, "What does it profit a man, though he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" God puts more value on a soul than he does all of creation. So God looks at things quite differently than tree huggers do. Now, I'm cautious to use terms like it because I love trees. And my Lord, I'm a Christian. I don't want to pollute rivers and ruin our ecosystem. Come on, we're not for that. We don't believe in that. But this is getting crazy when we're making determinations to go save spotted owls and whales and killing babies and murdering them in abortion year by year by year. This is insane thinking that you can actually put creation on the same level with mankind. God may be the creator of all things, but he is only the father of mankind. He only claims us in his family. He is not the father of monkeys. He's the creator of monkeys. They share a creator. We do not share a father with any other species. Jesus didn't come down here as a dog or a cow or a cat. He came down here as a man to redeem man. Are you with me? Oh, hallelujah. So, what is man? Well, let's read about what he says about this. He's quoting Psalms 8. "What is man that you are mindful of him, or the son of man that you take care of him? You have made him a little lower than the angels." I don't want to Greek you out or Hebrew you out here, actually. Old Testament is basically written in Hebrew. But in Psalms 8, where it says angels, that's the Hebrew word Elohim. You can go look that up. It's in any Hebrew dictionary or Strong's Concordance even. You can look it up, and that's a real simple way to do it. And the word Elohim is God, or God's plural, really. It's just a plural word. And God is a plural, incidentally. There's not a lot of gods out here, stay with me, but there's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit. Okay? They make up God as we know it. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. But that's really a plural word. Genesis 1:26, where it says, "And God made man. Let us make man in our image after our likeness." Everybody say, "Let us." Whoa. Us. Isn't that a plural word? Us? Let us? See, it's a plural pronoun. Plural possessive pronoun. Say that 10 times real fast. Don't let anybody stand right in front of you. Say that 10 times real fast. That is a plural possessive pronoun. So, let us. Why does it say us and our? Because God there is Elohim. The I-M in Hebrew is plural, just like S would be plural in English. A cherub is a single angel. A cherubim is many angels. A seraph is a single angel. Seraphim is many angels. I-M. El, Shaddai, God, single. Elohim, gods. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I hadn't Hebrewed you out. Okay. Now, we are in Hebrews, so I just want to make that plain. But he's quoting Hebrews, and he says, "Thou hast made him a little lower than Elohim." Really, actually, he made him a little lower than God. He didn't make him a little lower than the angels. Are you kidding? Angels aren't even in our class. What are you talking about? That went over real big.
Amen.
Jesus didn't die for the angels. He didn't redeem the angels. They're not the children of God. They're not his family. We are. Now, that's not to degrade or demean. They're to be held in awe. They have a position. Are you with me? We respect them. We honor them. We don't violate their position. We pray to God, and they work according to our faith in God. I don't circumvent that. I don't tell angels what to do. I don't command angels. There is a teaching that goes around saying do that. No, I just stand on the Word, and angels just hearken to the voice of God's Word. If I believe God, they're going to move anyway. God gives them commands and orders. I don't. But having said that, they're not in my class. In fact, one day we will judge angels. Whoa. The Scripture says that. We will judge. What is man? Well, man's a whole lot more than the world would tell you, a whole lot more than the psychiatrist would tell you, a whole lot more than the humanist would tell you. We're a whole lot more than the world. In fact, all this will pass away, but we will live on and on and on. We'll look at all this as an old tale one day. And you've never seen a mere human. You think you have, but you really hadn't. I read this one time. I thought it was amazing. Of course, I had to make it local. You never passed a mere human in the aisle at Brookshire's. If God were to reveal to you what that person would look like in the glory that God has for them, in their glory, you would fall down and worship them like a god. You'd be wrong, but you wouldn't be able to help yourself. The breath would leave your body. You'd fall down like a dead man on the floor. Because it would be so awesome when you'd see the glory that God has in store for all of us. We're going to live on forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. And this building will crumble and fall, and these chairs will, they'll quit being. I'm running out of pronouns and adjectives and everything. They'll quit, cease to be, and we'll just keep going. Hallelujah. Because that's what God has in store for us. That's what God has done for us. What is man if thou art mindful of him? Well, we're pretty big in his eyes. We're the apple of his eyes. We're the center of creation. We're the reason for everything that he's done. He made the sun and the sunrise for us. He made the trees and the landscapes and the rivers and the lakes for us. He made all of creation for us and put everything under our feet, the Bible says. And listen, it is the beauty and the grandeur and the splendor of creation that catches us and holds us in great awe and respect. It doesn't hold a cow in awe. You don't see a cat mooning at the sunset or the sunrise. It doesn't mean anything to them. Beauty is something, the grandeur, the majesty of creation was for us. That's something only you and I can understand and appreciate.
Amen.
And it takes our breath away.
Amen.
I can see God in all that. I know God's more than that. He's more than the sun. He's more than all that. I know he's the creator of all that. But the way it takes my breath away, that's God, that he has made me, and he's made all that for me. I mean, I can look at a landscape, and I just think, I see God. I don't see God in the mountain, but I see God's hand in creation. and how to fix me. I'd never seen a cat stop. Look at that. You ever seen a dog? I don't think dog, he'll howl at the moon. That's about it, you know. But I mean, there's so many indicators that we count, we're important. You know, he made all things for us to enjoy, the Bible says. Where we get in sin is where we get in lust and we get in greed and we start worshiping creation as opposed to the Creator. That wasn't what it was made to do. It was made to bless us, not to rule us or control us. I believe you can have all the money in the world as long as it doesn't have you. But when it has you, you've already messed up. For it is the love of money, not the having of it, that is the root of all evil. You keep your focus right, your worship right, you keep your attention right. Oh, goodness gracious, God will bless you. And He's waiting to bless you. He wants to bless you. He wants to use you. Amen?
Amen?
You're important. You count. You're part of this whole scheme. You are part of the plan. You are part of the master plan. What is man that you're mindful of him, the son of man that you care for him? You have made him a little lower than the angels, or actually a little lower than God. Because Jesus wasn't lower than the angels. Only in body, but not in authority.
Amen.
And it says, you have crowned him with glory and honor and set him over all the works of your hand, and you have put all things in subjection under his feet. Wow. You're not supposed to be dominated by the world. You're supposed to dominate the world. I'm not saying each other. I'm talking about the world we live in.
Amen.
You say, well, how are you doing? Pretty good under the circumstances. What are you doing under the circumstances? You ought to get over the circumstances. You shouldn't be addicted to things. That's what's wrong with addictions, is because those things were not made to control you. You were made to control them.
Yeah.
And when something gets a hold of you, starts controlling you, you need to repent. You get on your knees, get right with God, get over it, overcome it. We have a class on Monday nights called Overcomers that Dale and Cheryl head up. In fact, they're out of town. They're also out of town, some of the people out of town. But people that have addictions come in and learn how to overcome instead of be overcome. Amen?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. So he goes on and says this, for in that he put all things in subjection under him, 8th verse, he left nothing that is not put under him, but now we do not yet see all things yet put under him, which is death. He's talking about death. We still die.
Yes.
One day that's going to be put under our feet. Hallelujah. But we see Jesus, who is made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for everyone.
Amen.
You know what Jesus did? He did for us. Amen. He did it in our place. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah.
Woo.
He died for us. And see, now you won't have to die. Now you say, well, I do die. Well, you die physically. But see, when you leave this body, you're going to go to heaven. To be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, is what Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:8. We've got 5:7 up here on the banner. Walk by faith and not by sight. And so we know when Stephen was stoned in Acts the 7th chapter, the Bible tells us that he said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So his spirit went right on to be with the Lord. So now when I die, I go straight to heaven. I'll never die spiritually, ever, again.
Hallelujah.
See, if you're born twice, you die once.
Right.
You'll think about it. I'll die physically. Unless the rapture comes back, I won't even die once. But if Jesus tarries and I live my life out here, long life, good old age, then I'll die one time. But I've been born twice. I was born in this world, then I was born from heaven when I accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. I was born again. Now, if you're only born one time, you're going to die twice. So you can be born once, die twice, or you can be born twice and die once. It's kind of a no-brainer. Are you with me? I'd rather be born twice, just die once. And maybe even miss that death if Jesus comes. Oh, hallelujah. If that rapture happens, I'm going to miss the whole thing. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, my, they'll fry when we wave goodbye to them. But anyway, that's not the right attitude. Stay with me. I'm going up first load. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. So he says here, now, y'all stay with me. I'm about to wrap this up. We won't keep you all day. Got another service tonight, 5 o'clock. But we see Jesus, 9th verse, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that he by the grace of God might taste death for every man. For it was fitting for him, for whom are all things and by whom are all things, speaking of Jesus, in bringing many sons to glory. Everybody say to glory.
To glory.
Hey, we're headed to glory. You and I are headed to glory. That's always been God's intention. And bringing many sons to glory to make the captain of their salvation. He is the captain of our salvation, this great salvation. That's who Jesus is. He came for an intent and purpose, and it was to save us. Hallelujah. As I said before, he may be a great teacher. He may be a great example. He may be a great leader. He is all that, but he's more than that. Because we needed more than a great leader, a great teacher, and a great example. We've got those in a lot of different people. In fact, there's probably some good teaching in Buddhism. There's probably some good teaching in the Muslim faith. Stay with me. It's not all bad. You know, as a Christian, I don't have to believe that every other religion is completely wrong all the way through. I believe there are some good parts in a lot of different religions. But only the whole truth and nothing but the truth is in Christianity. I believe as a Christian that all the truth is in Christianity, not parts and bits and pieces. I believe it's the whole truth. And although there may have been some good examples and some bad ones, some were good, some were bad. Buddha had good points and bad points. Moses had good and bad and so on and so forth. That really wasn't what we needed, though. You know, what we needed was not a leader, a guide, or an example. We needed a Savior to save us from our sins. And the Bible says in the first chapter of Hebrews that he by himself purged our sins with his own blood and sat down on the right hand of God the Father. Woo! He's the captain of our salvation. He brought us in. He came down with an intent, with a purpose. He became one of us so that we could become one with him. He became like us so we could become like him. It's real simple. It's the law of the highest to the lowest. If you're going to communicate between a high and a low, the high's got to come down. The low can't go up. You got a little baby. He can't talk philosophy with you. Doesn't he know how to talk, period. Just saying goo goo and gaga. So you got to get out there and you got to goo goo and gaga with him. And then you turn the goo goo into da-da. And you turn the da-da into daddy. And you work with them. And you go down and you bring them up. But you know what you're trying to do? You're trying to raise your children. We even use that term. How were you raised? And we tell them to grow up. Our whole intent, really, is to get them like us, to get them self-dependent. It's cute, you know, when they're trying to eat cereal at one or two, you know, and they miss their mouth and the, you know, and the peanut butter sandwiches on top of their head. And it's not so cute when they're 15. Hello. We're working with them, see? We're working with them. Because we're patient. We're trying to bring them up, see? Bring them up, raise them up. Jesus came down here to bring us up there. Hallelujah. He came down to us and became one of us so we could be like him, so we could be one with him. Not so I could be God. You're not God. I'm not God. But he does want to make us his family and to glorify us. This great salvation. Oh, we ought to give the more earnest heed to these words that were spoken to us by Jesus. What he came to do, to bring us, the captain, the leader. See, he's leading the charge. He's won the victory. He's out front. He's brought us into something. I love that. God always brings us out of something to bring us into something. And he always brings out of something bad to bring us into something better. He brought them out of Egypt to bring them into the land of Canaan. The Bible says we've been translated from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We came out of something to come into something. He came down to bring us up. He's come to raise us up. To raise us. It is important how you've been raised. That's good, isn't it? I like that. I got to write that down. Okay. Anyway, these things come, you know, and they just, by the Holy Ghost, you just got to write them down. 10th verse 40, it was fitting for him for whom are all things, by whom are all things, in bringing many sons to glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. And he did suffer for us. For both he who sanctifies, Jesus, and those who are being sanctified, us, are all one, are all of one, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren. Amen. Man, he came down here and just included us in the family. He came down here to round us up. Woo, head them up, round them up, keep them doggies rolling. We're all high. He came down and he rounded us up. Think about it. Well, I don't mind using those kind of terms, cowboy terms. I believe that's probably the shout from heaven is probably going to be yippee ki yay, here I come. He's going to be riding a white horse. Come on.
Come on.
You come up with something better. The Bible says he's coming off, and we're going to be riding with him. Hallelujah.
Yeah.
Woo!
Yeah.
Woo. Yeehaw. Okay. So he says here, and he quotes some Old Testament scriptures back this up, 12th verse, saying, I will declare your name to my brethren. Jesus came down here to declare God to us, including us, his brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will sing praise to you. Again, 13th verse, I will put my trust in him. And again, here am I and the children whom God has given me. See, he came down here to get us. He came down here to restore us. He came down here to bring us back because we had fallen away. We were sheep that had gone astray. And he came down to bring us back to him. This great salvation, this great Savior, this Jesus. Oh, now we're one of the bunch. We're riding for the brand now. Think about it. You know, we're branded. We're marked. We belong to Jesus. We're Jesus people. We are his sheep. See, we're the sheep of his pastor. 14th verse, inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise took part of the same. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil. Aren't you glad? Hallelujah. The devil, as we say in these texts, was whooped by Jesus. Jesus whooped him, took the keys of hell and death away from him. Now think about that. Before Jesus, when people died, even under the old covenant, Abraham, Moses, all those guys, they died, they would go down to a place called Abraham's bosom or paradise. After the resurrection, no longer do we go there, we go straight up to heaven. Why? Because before Jesus came, the devil did have some authority. He had the keys of hell and death. Notice in Revelation 1st chapter it says about Jesus, I am he that liveth and was dead and alive forevermore, and I have the keys of hell and death. Now he holds those keys. And now when you die as a Christian, the devil can't hold you. You go straight up to heaven. But before then he could. There was a legal problem here, see, that Jesus solved, that he paid a price for. He became like us so we could become like him. He became one of us, or one with us, so we could become one with him. His righteousness is our righteousness. We don't have our own, we have his. His authority is ours. He gained or paid for what we have now, and the world was made for man, made to be under man's authority. So Jesus restored to us, think about it, what was lost to us through Adam's sin. You may long to be like Jesus, but I don't think you consider how much Jesus went through to be like us. Why? He had to become one of us to communicate to us and to pay the price for our sin. And so he came down the higher to the lower to raise us up. Y'all getting that? Is that helping you? I mean, think about our great salvation. I'll close this out. It says, he himself likewise took part, shared with the same 14th verse, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. You do not have to fear death anymore.
Yeah.
It brings bondage, but you don't have to be in bondage and you don't have to be in fear. You can face it with courage. You can face it with hope and you can face it with confidence. I know that when I die, and I'm not looking to die any day now, stay with me, but I know when I die, I got a bright future. I got something better on the other side. I'm going somewhere, hallelujah. And every one of your loved ones that have died or passed away, you don't need to fear for them.
That's right.
And you don't need to grieve for them. If we grieve, it's for us. They have gone to a better place if they know Jesus as Lord and Savior. Jesus made sure of that. Amen. 16th verse, for indeed he does not give, or he didn't take upon him the nature of angels, but he took upon him the nature of the seed of Abraham. He came like man, not like the angels. Therefore, in all things, he was made to be like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered being tempted, he is able also he is able also to give aid or to succor those who are tempted. Oh, hallelujah. Man, what a good God. What a great salvation. You know, Jesus did what he did for us. He took our place. So we could take His place. Think about it. Now we are the body of Christ. Now we are seated with Him in heavenly places. Now my position is in Him. And really, I'm down here right now representing Him. He's up there representing me. I do everything I do down here in His name. He lives and does everything He does up there in my name. If I confess Him down here, He confesses me up there. Hallelujah. He's representing me in heaven. I'm representing Him down here. Oh, what great salvation Jesus has proclaimed and procured for us. And we ought to give the more earnest heed. Amen? So as we say in East Texas, listen up. Listen up. Amen? This is good stuff. It's a lot better than you think it is. And you got a lot more authority than you think you do. And you can make a difference more than you think you can make a difference. And you don't have to settle for what's coming down the road. You can change some things. You can pray. You can believe. You can call on God. And whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, delivered, healed, and set free. Hallelujah. Amen.